Hello, I'm Joshua.
And I'm Mary, and welcome to From the Heart.
Orlando is widely known for its tourist spots and attractions, but many people don't know about its thriving arts community.
We are excited to introduce to you talented and passionate artists, and they all shape our arts community. How do they do it, and why? How can Orlando benefit from an even greater arts presence?
On each episode, we'll meet guests who are influential leaders and artists who are truly making a difference.
From the Heart.
Yay, Mary, it's so great to be back in the studio with you, my friend. Hopefully, listeners, you were able to catch our very first show last weekend on your drive home or as you were getting ready for bed. I just actually told somebody this morning, you know, if you're having a hard time sleeping on Sunday, tune into our show and we'll put you to sleep.
Oh, Josh, great commercial. Come on, that's funny. That is pretty good. I'm excited about today.
I am too. We have two incredible guests today who are making such a difference in the theatrical community and the arts community. And we're excited because we're going to hear all the story and we're going to hear about these two gentlemen. But did you do anything fun last weekend? Did you get to see any art shows or were you working all weekend?
No, I actually had an opportunity to work for the Mouse this week.
So I
was working a little bit of art myself, so to speak.
And what kind of art did you do, Mary?
Well, I would say performance art. I got myself in this corner. Actually, you know what? Performing in the parks is its own form of an art. When we talked last week about art being a bit of an intention and art being influential and an experience and an expression. And so, sure, of course, there's an art to anything that you want there to be one to. We make people smile. Mm. We make people glad that they're there. We make people forget that they've spent to be there, that they, in fact, have chosen to be there. That's a magical art.
And when they're hot and irritable, you make everything better.
We do. We do. I'm working the Flower and Garden Show, and Krista and I have fun squirting guests, making sure that they're cooled off.
So when they're irritable, you squirt them with water. I love that.
Yes, and then we drive away quickly.
Well, I was able to go see the boisterous rebirth of opera in Orlando. You know, we've had such the Orlando Philharmonic really picked it up for a couple of years and filled in the gap once we lost our beloved Orlando Opera. And now the Florida Opera Theater has come back in a resurgence as the Opera Orlando. And I love their slogan, where the city goes for opera.
Where the city goes
cool?
for opera.
I love that.
Well, tell us what you saw.
Well, I got to see their show. I'm a United Arts grant panelist, but I also got to just experience it on Saturday night, and it was hilarious. That was at the Jim Pugh Theater, the Dr. Phillips Center, and they did some Mozart and Poulenc and just did two short one acts, and the place was packed, and it was exciting to once again see opera. So congratulations to that whole team, to Gabriel, and really just to the whole team there that's done such a great job. I mean, to their board of directors who had stayed just so focused and determined to make sure that we have opera here in Orlando. So definitely a new start and a boisterous resurgence of opera from this weekend, their very first show for Opera Orlando. So congrats to that whole team and to all the performers and artists that were a part of that. So hopefully you will be watching out for their next show. I believe that it's going to be the Student Prince and then Don Pasquale and then Amal and Night Visitors and then Don Giovanni is their next season. So lots of great things and some pop-up performances all over. So hopefully you'll be able to go to where they are and experience opera here in Orlando.
Sounds great.
Cool stuff.
Well, almost as cool as our guest today.
Almost. Speaking of pop-up performances, I mean, not so much pop-up, but very cool performances.
Well, today we're very lucky because we're going to be speaking with the executive director of the Fringe, Orlando Fringe Festival, George Wallace, and also the festival producer, Michael Marinaccio. And they're going to tell us all things Orlando Fringe, which is very exciting.
Yeah.
How about if we say hello at this point? Hello, Michael. Hello, George.
Hello.
How's it going?
Hi, guys. We're so glad to have you. And Michael, this is your third time with us on From the Heart. We were reminiscing about the first time you were with us and we just did an interview on an iPhone. It was very very ghetto, but we got the message out, right?
Yeah, you guys have come a long way. I mean, then last time we did it on television and Orange TV, and here we are in the radio studio. And
yeah, we were so excited today when we were looking at the Fringe Festival website and we saw the video of us chatting with you and telling the story about the Fringe. So thank you for that. That's cool.
Thank you. You all did such a great job of asking the right questions, and it just was a very informative video for our audience. So
Well, we hope this question isn't too vague, but we actually thought, since we have the both of you here, and not only do we know of your positions, but we know of the mutual respect and admiration you both have for each other, we'd like to charge you with, tell us the story of Orlando Fringe. Pretend we know nothing about it, once upon a time, and we want to let you go. Will you do that for us?
Sure. George, would you like to start, or would you like me to?
You.
All right. Well, I'm going to start with what is a fringe festival. So back in 1947 in Edinburgh, Scotland, there was an international theater festival, and it was very exclusive, and there was some nepotism, and only certain groups were allowed to perform. And so a lot of producers that were excluded from the festival got together and decided, we're going to start our own festival on the outskirts or the fringe of the international festival. And our only rule is that anyone who wants to perform can perform at the fringe. And so the concept brought about the most creative and interesting experimental pieces and soon swallowed up the international festival. The Edinburgh Fringe is now the largest arts festival in the world, and last year had 2.3 million tickets sold and another 700,000 in free fringe attendance, so over 3 million in attendance in 1 month. So that's what a fringe festival is, where it started. And then George can take it from here. What happens in North America next?
Sure. Well, not only am I the executive director of the Orlando Fringe, I have the privilege of serving on the Canadian Association of Fringe Festivals board as the vice president. And we are modeled after Canadian fringes. Terry Olson, who was one of the founders of the Orlando Fringe, went to Edmonton in 1991 and came back and said, you know what? We could do this in Orlando. And in 1992, the Orlando Fringe was born. But we follow the model of 100% of all of the money goes back to the artists. We're 100% unjuried, 100% accessible, and 100%, like I said, of the money goes back. But also, what is the most important to me is accessibility. 100% of accessibility, because it's inexpensive for the artist and it's inexpensive for the audience.
And you forgot Uncensored, George. So we are also 100% uncensored.
Oh.
A lot of people don't know what uncurated means. Uncurated means that we don't have a selection committee that decides what art is valid and what art isn't. We let the lottery gods decide that. So we draw names out of a hat. And it is the most egalitarian system of theater that you'll find. And then we also are 100% uncensored, which means that we don't control any of their content. It is 100% the artist's pure creative expression that you'll see on stage. We have no influence over it.
So 100% unjuried, 100% uncensored, 100% accessible, and 100% of the sales are returned back to the artist, which I think that's really incredible. And I think, you know, there's so many wonderful things about the Fringe, but one of those is that you guys are really breaking down walls, stereotypical walls of not all artists get a chance to do what they love. It's only the people who, you know, right time, right place, know the right people, that kind of thing. And for you guys, the way that you choose the art to participate is really that anybody every year gets that hope again that they could be chosen, right? I mean,
well, now there is a certain percentage that are local and certain that are from the country and outside. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so we do have geographical tiers. 50% of our spots are reserved for local artists, 25% for national artists, and 25% for international artists.
And how do we do with that? Do we get 25% international artists in?
We do. We've got 28 international acts, 28 national acts. And the rest are local, but that's because of the bring-your-own-venue element that they end up being more than 50%.
And what's really interesting, unfortunately, after 9/11 happened, we noticed a really big dip in those numbers. And, you know, the economy kind of followed suit. And we couldn't fill those slots. But about 5 years ago, it started picking up, and we are at 100% capacity for both national and international. And we actually had a waiting list, Mike. How many did we have on the wait list this year?
I had 16 international acts on the wait list, about 60 national, and about 75 local acts.
Yeah. So
where is our furthest act in from this year?
This year, there's no real exotic locations. Australia is probably the furthest.
I would say that's pretty exotic.
Well, we typically get from the English speaking world, Australia, UK, Canada, are our mainstays for our out of town artists. But we also have had artists from Japan, Israel, Turkey.
I think Africa. I saw a group from
South Africa. Yeah,
South Africa. Mm-hmm. Sure. So yeah, we typically get, you know, one or two kind of exotic countries. This year, it's just our standard three, UK, Australia, and Canada.
And how do these artists, you know, national, international, how do they hear about the Orlando Fringe Festival? I mean, I'm sure there's a network, right, the Canadian network, but do they have to pay for all their expenses? I mean, how does that work? What does that process look like in coming to Orlando?
Yeah, so there's over 200... Fringe festivals worldwide. We are part of a network, the Fringe World Congress, as well as the Canadian Association of Fringe Festivals and the United States Association of Fringe Festivals. So we are, and as the oldest in the United States, we're going into our 25th year. We are well known throughout the national and international circuit. We also visit Edinburgh Fringe and have done that a few times to do a World Fringe Fair. So we do some recruiting for internationals as well.
You've done some mentoring too, haven't you?
Yeah, we actually, as part of CAF, I know that Mike has been, and he actually went to the very first San Diego Fringe, and I get to go to Portland, Maine this summer.
It's going
to
be cool.
Yeah, right after our festival ends, I get to go up and do some mentoring there.
Well, you know, Mary, I think Michael just mentioned this, but you know, you're the oldest. We are the oldest Fringe Festival in all of the United States, and we're celebrating 25 years this year. I mean, for an arts organization to be around 24 years, somebody's doing something right. So, congrats, guys! But talk about that. You know, we're the oldest.
Yeah,
by default.
the first in the United States was Seattle, but they folded in pretty epic proportions in 2005. It was a big financial mess. A lot of artists didn't get paid. It was a big mess. But we actually almost folded a couple of times. So we've gone through some really tough times in our 25 years. But I'm proud to say that today we are as sustainable, more sustainable than we've ever been. We are doing really, really well.
When you say really, really well, what are you guys doing that's different than other Fringe festivals? And that's probably more George's question. You know, it's so important as a nonprofit to be fiscally responsible and be smart and take care of the, you know, your artists. What are you guys doing? What are some best practices that other arts organizations and other art leaders can learn from?
Sure. Well, I think the most important thing is I'm not an artist. I am a person who is an administrator. And a lot of times in our history and in history of a lot of arts organizations, they're led by artists. And sometimes that's just not the best thing.
Yeah, so I am an artist for the record.
So someone with a business background is really important, and someone who can crunch numbers. And I love shows. I'm not going to get on stage and perform. I'm not going to produce, but I'm going to be in the office crunching numbers and writing checks and making sure.
Didn't you tell us earlier that you were in a show in grade school?
Well, it was actually kindergarten. I peed my pants. So
I'm so glad I brought that up.
Way somehow in here. I thought we would transition to that somehow.
Thanks, Mary.
You're welcome, George.
I mean, come on. That's a good story, George. But yeah, I think that's a great point. You're an incredible businessman and a business mind, and you are really running the administrative side, and you're letting Michael do his job of really running the creative side,
right,
which is a beautiful relationship that's working.
Yeah, we've always had that yin and yang thing from the get-go. It's really, really worked out. The organization has always been sort of a one leader organization for the entire history until I came on board and George was promoted 5 years ago. And now this model seems to work really well for us.
You're quite the team. It's such a collaboration from all your leaders, even with Visual Fringe and all the people you have with your volunteers. It's pretty impressive. Everyone seems happy. What do you give them?
I think we just let the artists create amazing art. The accessibility thing we take very seriously. So our ticket prices are low. Our entrance fees are low. It's the most affordable way for an artist to produce a show. We also provide an umbrella of box office services, marketing services, training. We train our artists. We give them auditions. So we'll do a unified audition to have all the art. So it's a great vehicle for them and a really accessible way for them to do it. And it brings about the most exciting creative work that you'll see anywhere.
For our audience listening that might not have ever been to Fringe, tell them what a Fringe show is and what to expect and how they get a ticket and how to choose a show.
Oh, boy. Well, how to choose a show, there is something for everyone at Orlando Fringe. There's every genre. Whether you decide that you want to go see a puppet show or a children's show or a burlesque show and everything in between, you can pull out the program, you can download the application that we have on the phones, and you can just go to the beer tent and ask people. I think that the organic feeling of being at the Fringe Festival, it's a community. And whenever anybody says, what is the Fringe? To me, it is the community. So go and ask people. They're going to tell you what's good and what's not good. There are 148 ticketed shows to choose from this year, so there's a lot.
So there is a program that has all 148 shows listed and also listed according to content or age appropriateness. Yeah.
On our website as well, it's sortable. So you can go on the website, go to our sortable schedule and click dance and see all of the dance shows or click family friendly and see all of those. So
yeah, we're going to talk more about this, but the app on the phone is awesome. I already downloaded it and it's super user friendly. So we'll talk about how you can get that as well. But we got to go for now, but we'll be coming back and we're going to learn more about George and Michael and the men who are really making this tick and more about them and their passion. So when we come back on From the Heart on Magic 107.7.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back. I'm Mary Thompson Hunt, and I'm here with Joshua Vickery, my brilliant co-host. And we're very excited that we're speaking with George Wallace, executive director of the Orlando Fringe Festival, and Michael Marinaccio, festival producer. They're telling us all about the Fringe. Just a moment ago, you started to tell us about what to expect when you get to the Fringe. Now, you mentioned beer tent. George, tell us what the beer tent is and what that means to community at Fringe.
Well, it's my favorite place at Fringe.
I wonder why.
So it's the hub of the festival, and it's where you go, number one, to kind of sit down and enjoy something, enjoy the food and the beer and the camaraderie of the beer tent itself, and sit down and talk with the patrons. But you can also talk with the artists because, you know, you can go to a Broadway show and you say, my gosh, that was an amazing show, an amazing artist, an amazing actor, and you want to tell them that. And you can't. And at Fringe, you can. So, yeah, it's the hub. It's the center. And it's right on the green lawn between the Orlando Shakes and the Orlando Rep.
And yeah. We should say that even though it's called the beer tent, there's certainly a lot of food trucks there. There are many families there. But there is also beer that you can have.
Yeah. And wine. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Fringe lawn. The Fringe lawn is it encompasses all of that. We'll have art vendors there, our visual Fringe arts market, so that you'll be able to buy original local art. There's food vendors. Our outdoor stage will have bands and entertainment free to the public the entire festival. So you can come without ever buying a button, without ever buying a ticket, and enjoy the Fringe 100% free.
Right.
Something that you said earlier about the artists, that you can sit down with them, that is one of my favorite parts. I know that I love the fact that artists will come and hand out flyers and tell you personally about their show and invite you to their show. And you feel that you get a sense of how proud they are and what kind of work they've put into it. And when you go and see it, they're just as happy to come back later when they see you at the beer tent and go, I saw you, Ed, what'd you think? And have a conversation about it and answer questions. It's very personal.
It is, and that is my favorite piece because, like I was saying before, to me, Fringe is a community.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and you're creating community through that for those artists. But I think that's part of your making it accessible, too, is that you're able to have – you know, and there's a little bit of stardom to theater, and to be able to, for the patrons to be able to really meet and get to know and have a beer with somebody that they just saw put on a great show is something that you can't really experience anywhere else. I mean, sometimes you have a meet the cast, but and this is really different. It's really accessible, as you said.
Yeah, the USA Today, it's one of my favorite quotes from a few years ago. The Orlando Fringe is a place where you can go and rub elbows with beatniks to bankers and everyone in between.
Yes, I love that.
All right.
That's cool. So tell us a little bit about the experience. Just, you know, where is it? Because I don't think we've even talked about exactly what all the different venues are. I know you have some new venues this year. But maybe walk us through the experience of parking to getting to the venue to all of those things.
Sure. Well, the main festival itself is at Lock Haven Cultural Park, which is right on the corner of Mills and Princeton. Orlando Shakespeare, the Orlando Museum of Art, the Rep, the Science Center, right in that central hub. And I'm going to let Mike address parking because, you know, I don't want to ever be responsible for parking.
Well, there is limited parking at Lock Haven Park. I think, you know, as the festival's grown, our audience has come to understand that you're not going to be able to pull in front of the Shakespeare Center and get a spot right away. So we do have lots of off-site parking. So there's free off-site parking just across Mills at the Magruder LASIK Eye Center, mm-hmm. and the Winter Park Urology Center. Mm-hmm. So there's about another 500 free spots over there. And then also the Florida Hospital Garage is right around the corner on Alden Road, and that's a maximum $4 a day and free on Saturdays. So I always encourage people, don't waste your time trying to park in front of the buildings and in Lock Haven Park. Just go to our offsite. There'll be plenty of parking.
And it's a delightful walk. And once again, there's such a community there. People are walking and they'll start saying, what have you seen at Fringe? And then the conversation begins.
Yeah, and none of the lots are more than a quarter of a mile away from the, mm-hmm. the park. So
and Mary, that would really help you get your 10,000 steps in that you got to get in every day. Just go to the Fringe every day. You'll be able to do it. But yeah, it sounds like there's great parking options. So, you know, if I'm going to the Fringe for the first time, do I buy a ticket for every single show that I want to go see?
Yeah, so you will need a button. Fringe button is sort of like your admission to the fair. It's a one-time purchase, $10 button. That is the only money that goes to support the festival because 100% of our ticket sales go back to the artists. Maximum ticket price is $11, and then you'll go and purchase tickets to the shows that you want to see, and as many as you want. We have fans that see over 100 shows every year.
So the Fringe button is $10, and you need that for all, how many days is it? 14?
It's 14 days. It lasts you the whole 14 days.
14 days. So that's just one time, and that pays for the Fringe Festival, which is fantastic.
Yep.
And then I think it comes with one program?
You'll get a printed program. Beautiful. It's getting more to look like a phone book than anything.
Well,
with 148
so
shows
that's
this year.
Good,
but,
and so many shows.
And the shows tend to be 30 to 60 minutes. Every now and then there's a 90 minute, I think.
Maximum is 90 minutes, but most of the shows are 60 minutes or under.
Okay.
And you said we'd see all kinds of shows from puppetry to burlesque to comedy. Give us some example of what that would mean. What kind of shows do you guys have coming this year?
Sure. We have shows in closets, and we have shows in bathtubs in hotels.
Living rooms.
Show
in a bus and a destination, and then bus ride back.
And then traditional theater shows.
Yeah.
As it should be.
Our tagline the last couple of years has been over 100 shows rated G through OMG. I always thought that was a great tagline for us
fabulous.
Because it's true. 148 shows, and it really does run the gamut. We've got children, family-friendly entertainment from Summit Church that does an original musical this year, original musicals every year. We've got acrobatic troops and clown and juggling and magic.
Is the car coming back that takes you on a journey?
No,
but there
tell
is,
us about that.
So yeah, we've had site specific is something that's really grown in theater. So moving out of traditional theater venues and into untraditional venues, we have had an overnight camping trip. We continue to have a bar. Joe's New York City Bar is an immersive experience in a bar. Last year we had a show in a car where it was a ride along was the name of the show, and you got in the back seat, but it was they started with a fight choreographed on the hood of the car, and if you're standing outside of the car looking at it, it looks totally fake. If you're sitting in the back seat of the car, you're scared. Totally real. And then they take you on a journey, and it's an adventure. You're going to hunt some So the audience was two in each performance. Yes.
Because I have two friends of mine, Cindy and Frank, went, and they sat in the back seat, and they said it was a hoot.
Oh, that is awesome.
And it got so popular, we actually got to squeeze three people in the back seat.
Oh, we did.
They were willing to sit in each other's laps just to experience it. What are the other shows that you guys want to highlight that are just different and unique? And I know that you wish you could probably talk about all 148 shows, but what are some different ones this year?
I'm super excited. We've got a lot of returning favorites, but we've also got some incredible new shows, new companies that are doing physical theater work, like Animal Engine are doing a show called Darlings, which is about Wendy from Peter Pan's parents and what they go through when Wendy disappears.
Wow.
So, but it's totally physical theater, and they...
What do you mean physical theater?
So they do talk. It's not just silent theater, but they play not only every character in it, but every inanimate object in it as well. So it's a very physical form of storytelling. We've got more burlesque this year than we've ever had. Four troupes at our black venue, and then a couple of boylesque troupes, one from Canada called Oh Manada. We've got big musicals this year. Yao Dance is returning with a brand new big musical. A spoof on the musical Hamilton.
Yes.
Called Simpleton,
yes.
The Legend of President Trump, which is pretty topical, I think, right now.
Is this Tom Mesrobian's?
Tom Mesrobian's.
It is.
There's so much exciting work. I just there's just too much to talk about. We have a show in a bathtub this year, a Broken Bone Bathtub, where she talks about a real life experience of going around New York City to borrow friends' bathtubs because she broke a bone on a bicycle accident and couldn't use her shower. So it's not a risque show, but it's definitely an intimate show. There's living room theater, which happens in someone's living room.
Sure, I've seen that.
So, you know, there's lots of really cool stuff.
And if I can give you one piece of advice, if you want to kind of come and see what we offer on the 17th before the festival actually opens, we have national and international preview, where we let all of the out-of-town artists come and do a two-minute piece of their show and basically tell you what it's all about. We've already had the local version, but this is a great opportunity because we are bringing these people from around the world to you. And, and I always tell my friends, not that I don't want to support local artists, because obviously I do, but Fringe is a really great time to experience something that you never will be able to experience here in Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
Go see an Australian comic. Go see a Canadian dancer. It's not like you can do that every day.
I love that. And that's the 17th. And where will that be at?
That will be in our Orange venue, which is the Martisan Theater at the Lowndes Shakespeare Center.
It's just that they always start 3 hours earlier. Okay, never mind. I'm not
right now. we'll get that later, I'm sure.
In 3 hours.
You know, we got to experience the Fringe in a really cool way. CFC Arts submitted a show last year, and we were able to actually win musical, I think,
best musical.
Uh-huh. And it gave Donald Roop, our director, a chance to write and to create a new play about the Andrews sisters and their
fabulous
lives.
Fabulous piece.
It was so good.
Really,
and we brought it back.
Yeah, we brought it back and we did it for but it was so great because it gave Donald, you know, I got to watch him on this journey. It gave him a built-in audience to be able to do a new work. And that doesn't usually happen. If you're out there, you know, doing something new, you have to work really hard to get an audience there with the Fringe. These artists really have a built-in audience. But it's also brilliant to see local performers come together in collaborations that you would never see. Like, you know, you mentioned Eric Yao, who's has a great dance company. And then Paul Castaneda is the show director, who's another great local director. And then I think Juan Cantu was the writer. So three guys who may never work together outside because they're all doing their own things, but Fringe allows them to come together.
Right.
So you've talked about the beauty of your mission, but what's the beauty of the artistic side of the Fringe?
Well, we talked a little bit. This goes back to the community of the beer tent, because so many shows that you'll see in the festival this year were thought of at the beer tent the previous year.
So it's
Eric and Todd Kimbrough and Blue Star, whatever. Everybody's sitting around and they just have this idea and then they decide to create a show. So
and cross their fingers they get picked in the
lottery.
Yeah.
Well, and I know they're doing it for the art, but some of these shows have gone on to other things, right? Some off-Broadway. Talk about some of that.
Yeah, we've had, in our 25-year history, we've had some shows that have gone on and toured the world and done New York. One most noticeably in 2011 was Disenchanted. The original was Bitches of the Kingdom.
Yeah.
So, and they have now sold the rights, and it's performing and traveling all over the world and is debuting, I think, this summer in Chicago for a U.S. tour. Right.
Yeah,
I went to see it in New York.
Yeah, played off Broadway at the West Side Theater. Was nominated for several off-Broadway awards, too.
And Toxic Audio, too,
Toxic
right?
Audio, Drama Desk
Award
winner.
Winners.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know they, whenever they do conventions and stuff all over the world, I know they still give a shout-out to the Fringe Festival being their humble beginning, so we love that.
And the other beauty is that the truth always outs. You hear people talking about the shows that excite them, that's something that really moves them, and those are the shows that everyone then wants to go see, and they sell out. And you can't buy that kind of advertisement. It's just honest.
Yeah.
Well, talk to us a little bit about just some more of the details. You know, you talked about you can't really show up late. You know, I think that's important. You wanted the audience to know and the listeners to know that it's important to be on time and give the artists the respect.
We have we run a really tight ship because there are, in some venues, 11 different shows. And some days, you know, we have 8 of them performing on a weekend day. So they're coming back to back, a half an hour turnaround between shows for load in and load out. So we do ask the audience to be on time and get there on time to see a show, and we don't allow late entry. It's because there is so much to see. People are driven to be there and get right from one show into the next. You know, there's 15 minutes in between, and that's the way they want to do their schedule. They're like, excited to get to the next show.
What makes it a little tough is you run into so many people you know, or you run into so many people that you connect with, and you don't want to stop conversing, but you've got a show about to begin.
Yeah.
And it really is a beautiful time to come together with people with something bigger than yourselves bringing you together.
And from my experience being there, there's such great enthusiasm that people will line up hours at their venue before the show starts to make sure they get a good seat and make sure they get in and they're on time.
Yeah,
so
everything's general seating, so we don't do any reserve seats. So, yeah, they do. They show up 10 o'clock in the morning, and we go till 1 a.m.
Yeah, you can find out all about all of this stuff at OrlandoFringe.org. We've got really specific what's the Fringe and how to Fringe details
it's
on our
terrific
website.
Terrific website. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about your volunteers, because you can't do this without them, and I want to hear you talk a little bit about how people can get involved.
Absolutely.
Yeah, thank you, guys. When we get back, Magic 107 from the heart. Thanks for listening. Welcome back, and thank you so much for listening. This is Joshua, and I'm in the studio with the fabulous Mary Thompson Hunt, and today our guests are from the Orlando Fringe Festival. We have George, the executive director, and Michael, the festival producer, and these guys are really the brains behind all that's happening, and we're so lucky to have you on the show. And guys, what an amazing thing that the Orlando Fringe Festival has done and is doing in our community for our artists and just for the patrons as well. Mary mentioned volunteers as we started into the last segment. And, you know, George, you have a really incredible journey and path with the Fringe Festival. You started out as a volunteer yourself, and then you became the volunteer coordinator, and then you just continued to move, and now you're the leader of the organization. So tell us about those days as a volunteer and how important those volunteers are to this organization.
What's so funny about that question is this week, Matt Palm published a retrospective. And in 2005, that was this week highlighted, and I was interviewed as a volunteer, and I was talking about working 8 hours that day and taking the next week off so that I could come out and volunteer and see shows. Mm-hmm. And the rest, I won Volunteer of the Year in 2007, and the rest is history. And aww. I've been on staff ever since then in various roles, from part-time to full-time.
And what are some things that you learned as a volunteer that make you a better executive director today?
That is a really great question. And I think just believing in the organization. I wouldn't have volunteered for the organization if I didn't believe in what the mission was. That, and again, going back to the beer tent and the community and that sense of belonging. I had just moved here after, a messy divorce in Boston. And I really didn't know anybody. I didn't have any friends. And I was walking down the hall one day and I saw this really bright, colorful poster. And I said, "What is that?" And they're just like, "Oh, that's the Fringe Festival. You should volunteer." And they're just like, "I'm going to a training tonight. Do you want to go with me?" And that was my ex-supervisor, Sue Wood, who whose daughter worked for the organization, got me involved. I went to theater downtown. I went to a volunteer training. And I started pouring beers and selling buttons a couple days later. And I loved it. It was a place that I could go and just be myself. And I to this day, I still, some of my best friends are people that I met in that first volunteer training.
George, what makes a good volunteer for Fringe Festival?
Someone who shows up and has a passion for what they do and just has a really upbeat, good personality because, it is 14 days and it's long hours. And sometimes people get tired, but just, someone that's just going to keep a smile on their face and just, keep persevering. Mm-hmm.
And if I would like to volunteer, how would I find out more information to do that?
Sure, you can email volunteer@orlandofringe.org. You can go to our Facebook and you can click on sign up and you'll get our newsletters. Or you can go to orlandofringe.org and search in the ticket and look for volunteer trainings. And there are several left that are you can come to.
Really? So people can still sign up for this year's Orlando Fringe Festival?
You sure can. I have the next training is in about a week.
Fantastic.
And you made it so easy. Volunteer at Orlando Fringe. So, George, you were the only staff person to ever receive the prestigious Spirit of the Fringe Award twice.
Yeah.
2010 and in 2012. And, you've already talked about probably the reason why you got that, just your passion for it and your love for the organization. But so I'm actually going to throw this question to you, Michael. What do you think is the Spirit of the Fringe? Why do guys like George win that award, and why is it so important?
I think it just comes down to pure love for what we do and belief in the good that we do. George is tireless. Sometimes makes me feel lazy because I'm like, I'm taking the day off. He's like, I haven't taken a day off in 3 months.
No.
What is a day off?
He's that tireless passion and drive to and belief in what we do. I think that's the spirit of it.
We should all be so lucky to be connected with and aligned with something that brings that out in us. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I know that the artists do not do these works in the Fringe Festival for awards, but you guys do have awards, right? What are
we
some of the things that we can honor the artists by?
Yeah, so we have what's known as the Critics' Choice Awards, and those are not decided by Orlando Fringe. That's decided by Matt Palm of the Orlando Sentinel, Seth Kuberski of the Orlando Weekly, Elizabeth Maupin, former critic for the Sentinel, and a team of writers for all those publications. Mm-hmm. And those are really prestigious and great and awarded to the shows and the performers. Our awards are a little more fun and a little more personal. We do have the Spirit of the Fringe Award. We have the Fringe Crush Award. We have, aww, the Fringe
Naked Award.
What's the Fringe Crush Award? Is that like the male or female who everybody fell in love with?
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be. It can be a non-sexual crush, and usually is. A Japanese clown, Yanomi, is notorious for winning that award.
Mary Thompson Hunt, you could totally win that award. Everyone has a crush on you. Come on.
But yeah, it's just to honor some of the delightful characters and amazing contributions of our staff and our board of directors throughout the Fringe.
Exciting. When you think about this year's Fringe, what do you think is going to be a big surprise for guests who come out? Something they've not seen before, or can you say?
Well, I think something that nobody's seen before, because we've never done it, we will be unveiling on the 18th after we cut the ribbon. It'll be open to the public, but we've been working tirelessly to put together a 25-year retrospective museum, and it will be at the Orlando Museum of Art. We forego a venue this year, and we gave one up so that we could have a place to display all of these wonderful things from the first proclamation in 1992. When Terry Olson, who is brilliant, sent out the press release, it was called a press briefing, and they were written on men's white Fruit of the Loom underwear.
That sounds very Terry Olson.
And we will have those on display all the way through every Fringe button and poster and different awards and set pieces and props, and artists have been involved, and we've had patrons call us and say, I want to give this so that it can be displayed. And it's just really, again, that sense of community, and it's just going to really just be great.
We'll be doing videos and digital slideshows as well in there, and then we'll also have a documentary premiering on The Fringe, which is a documentary of the Fringe Festival touring circuit, particularly the Canadian touring circuit, and a lot of the artists that take part in Orlando Fringe are featured in that documentary. Wow. I have a little cameo in it as well. So
yeah, very cool.
Yeah, really fun stuff. We're doing some panel discussions, and bringing the producers of the past together to talk Fringe. So it's going to be a really, really exciting year for nostalgia.
Mm. I think that's one of the most exhilarating things about the Fringe is that when you go, it all is a surprise. Mm-hmm. You really never know what you're going to experience, whether it be in the beer tent or in the theater and the conversations that you have. Mm-hmm. We do some great theater at CFC Arts, but you kind of know what you're going to expect when you see Sound of Music.
Yes.
You know, here, you really don't know, and it's really exciting and an adventure every day.
It is.
14 days, it's a new adventure every single day,
yeah,
right, guys?
We don't even know what we're going to say.
Yeah.
Well, that's got to be exciting.
Did you already go over that Children's Fringe is free?
Kids Fringe. No. Our Kids Fringe takes place at the Minnella Museum of American Art. It is 100% free for children and families to come and see shows, do arts and crafts. It's amazing there. We have the 350-year-old Mayer tree and drum circles underneath it, and aerial workshops on the lawn right in front of the lake, and just some great opportunities for kids to get some hands-on arts experience and see some amazing performers. Mr. Richard is always there, and the kids love him. And Davy Rocker and the Barnyard Jam and the Outer Tunes and like all the best in children's entertainment. And then what I really love about Kids Fringe is every year we'll take some of our artists that are in from out of town, our international and national artists, and bring them to local Title I schools, or we've done Nemours Children's Hospital. This year we're partnering with the Ronald McDonald House to bring some of our performers there. So it's really great just to see kids getting to experience art and interesting, unique, exciting new art for the first time, and sort of training the kids from an early age to be art lovers.
And these Children's Fringe days are weekends, yes?
Yes, they happen Saturdays and Sundays during the festival from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Great. And so we have great shows that include music and dance and theater, and now you have the Kids Fringe, but you also have Visual Fringe as well. We're really hitting all of the disciplines of the arts.
Yeah, we do. Visual Fringe is one of my favorite pieces that I've participated. That's the artist in me. I like to paint. And again, it's really inexpensive, and you can sell your work, and 100% of the money that you get for that piece goes back to you as the artist, and it's displayed all throughout the walls of the Orlando Shakespeare Center, and we invite teenagers to put their artwork in, and it's going to be displayed at the Orlando Rep.
Yeah, and that's an opportunity. The theatrical portion is already long filled. We had our lottery back in December, and that's all gone. But there is still an opportunity to participate from a visual fringe, a visual artist standpoint. They can participate in our visual fringe market and sell their wares right on our lawn over the weekend, or they can submit a piece to the gallery and have us sell it for them.
Can anyone do that? Any visual
artist?
Anyone.
That's great. So if you're listening, you love to paint or draw or create visual art, then absolutely check it out on the Orlando Fringe website and learn information how to get
or
involved.
Or if you're married to someone, just take one of the pieces off your home wall and bring it in, and then later on tell them, yeah, I brought it in
for
you.
We always have to throw in a little bit of love to Jason Hutt every show.
I always purchase a piece of art every year. It's one of my favorite things to do. And
I'm not
George.
Allowed to have any more.
Oh.
My house is a museum. It's crazy.
Well, maybe we'll make you like the one of the venues.
Okay. Hey.
That'd be fun. Right.
I'm
there's
game.
A question that I was asked by Joshua last time we were together, and he asked me, why do I believe art is important? And I don't want you both to go without giving us your take on that.
Oh, I think art is important because it just feeds your soul. It just moves you, and it means something different to every person, and art is subjective. So we can both go see something and you can hate it, and it can be the most wonderful thing I've ever seen. And everything in between. And, you know, people just have to just let go and just experience it. And Fringe is a great place because you can do it hands-on. You can get in the mix, and I love that.
Yeah, I think art is the most outward expression of our humanity that we can have. It's a thing that separates us, that makes us uniquely human, to be able to have an imagination and think outside the box. It spurns creativity and innovation in science, in other fields. It feeds the soul.
Yeah, well, you guys are both really a great voice for the Fringe Festival, but also a great voice for the art in our community, for sure. Michael, you and I were just recently at something called the Victory Cup Initiative. We went head to head, kind of the Hunger Games of nonprofit.
and we both lost.
And we both lost. We gave it a good try. What was a beautiful moment of sharing stories of impact for nonprofits. And you shared a great story that morning. And we're running out of time, but I would love for you just quickly to tell us about someone's life who has been changed, not because they got to create great art, but really their life was changed because of the Fringe Festival.
Sure. I think the lottery system makes it possible for the most published, the most professional published work to be produced. And then also brand new artists, people who have never done it before. And the story I told that day was about my friend Bernie O'Brien, who is a semi-retired electrician who decided he wanted to do a one-man show because he loved telling stories. Mm. And no one would let him do his show. He tried lots of theaters, and they all laughed at him. And then he heard about The Fringe and brought his show and did it and fell in love with performing and had an audience who really liked what he did and continued to produce at The Fringe, and then ended up completely retiring from being an electrician. And now he's a semi-professional storyteller that travels. Really? So at 65, 70 years of age, he's found his actual calling in life. He's found his passion. And that's the opportunity that the Fringe can provide. And there are stories like his every single year of someone who has found themselves as an artist and found their purpose in life.
Wow. That's Orlando beautiful. Fringe Festival, 25 years of creating opportunity for artists, making the arts accessible to our community and to the arts community. Congratulations, really,
thank you.
Of you guys for the job well done. Mm-hmm. And we know that there'll be great stories coming out of this year. So OrlandoFringe.org, right, is where you can get all the information. Download the app. It's super friendly to use. And
14 days. It begins May?
May 18th through the 30th.
May 18th through the 30th. Mary and I will be there, so hopefully we'll see you out there, all magic listeners.
At the beer tent.
Please come say hi to Joshua and I. Make sure you say hello to George and to Michael. They would love it.
Absolutely. And we are looking forward to all that the Fringe is going to be offering this year. There's also some other great things happening in our arts community, so get out there and support the arts. This coming up weekend, we have Mad Cow has their cabaret festival that will be continuing through the weekend, as well as Singing in the Rain at the Garden Theater. and the Asian Cultural Festival will be on May 7th. Mary, I think you and I are going to go try to check that out.
I love that.
Awesome. So we will be seeing you next time, and it's been a good time, Mary.
It's been great.
As always.
Thank you so much to George Wallace, to Michael Marinaccio, of course, to you, beautiful Joshua Vickery. We'll be back next week from the heart.
Yeah, Magic 107.7. Thanks for listening.